Father, we bless you and we give you all the glory. We thank you for the time we have had in your presence. Lord, it's your presence that makes all the difference. Make all the difference in our lives today in Jesus' name. Lord, there is a joy that is above every other form of joy that we know you, and that we have a hope that we are going to reign with you. Lord, is there anyone in the house who cannot say for certain this morning that they have that kind of joy? My Lord and my God, I pray that let the heart of such a one be touched in Jesus' name. Let there be a turnaround in such a life in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, let hope be rekindled, O God. Let strength to serve you be renewed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. I want to share with us today something about the real joy. The real joy. The real joy. If we are talking about the real joy, it means there are other things that we can be joyful about that may not necessarily be, should be the cause of our real joy. So there's the real joy. And that's what we want to talk about today. And my prayer for each and every one of us is that God will give us the real joy in Jesus' name. By the special grace of God, from next week, we'll start a series on your life and your ministry. We'll start a series on your life and your ministry from next week. So we encourage us to attend. As a child of God, you need to hear it. You need to hear about your life and your ministry. But as a kind of prelude to what is going to be coming in the next 3-4 weeks, we are going to look at the real joy today. Can you please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Luke 10. I'm going to read from verse 17 to 20 of Luke 10. The real joy. This is something that we don't tend to talk about as much. There's a tendency for us to focus on the many things of the kingdom. But there's something that is more important than every other thing that we can find in the kingdom. And that should be the source of our real joy. The Bible makes us to understand that prophecy may cease. Prophecy may cease. People give you prophecy. People say, you know, see visions. Visions will come to an end. Glamour will come to an end. Riches will come to an end. Lives come to an end. At least as far as the physical world is concerned. But for us as children of the Almighty God, there's something that should give us real joy. Luke 10, 17 to 20. We need a reorientation. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Look at verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subjects unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Praise the Lord. That's the real joy. That should be the source of our joy as children of the Almighty God. Like I said to you, visions will cease, prophecies will cease, riches and accomplishments will come to an end. Prayer for breakthrough will be answered. Healings will take place. You will be known, you will be accomplished. People will honor you for the things you have done. All that will come to an end. Rejoice in this, that your name is written in heaven. That is the real joy. Not many people talk about it anymore. Every other source of joy that does not place this source of joy in the forefront is a misplaced priority. So that everything we do, we must do it knowing that somebody's name, that our name has to continue to be in the book of life. And so anything you know that you will do, or that when you do it can lead to an eraser or a cancellation of your name from that book, you must cease from doing it. In other words, every form of joyfulness that is not grounded on knowing that your name has been written in the book of life is a temporary one. He said, rejoice in this, that your name has been written in heaven. There are different, we are going to look at four categories of people in the world. In terms of their relationship with the kind of joy that we are talking about. In other words, whether they have their names written in the book of life or not. And you are going to determine where you stand. And it may be that at the end of the sermon, you may need a change of position to be where God wants you to be. Because God's desire is that every of his children will have their names written in the book of life. Or everyone that he has created, because the Bible says he does not, God does not delight in the death of a sinner, but that he comes to repentance. Because there are a number of people in the world today whose names have not been written at all in that book. Their names have not appeared at all in the book of life. Their names have not been written in heaven. As many as have had their names written in the book of life, your name will not be erased in Jesus' name. If it is being erased, it's going to be rewritten in Jesus' name. And if it's already there, it will continue to be there in Jesus' name. And those who have not had their names written, from today, your name will be written there in the mighty name of Jesus. Because that is the source of greatest joy.
to know that when you leave this world, it is not finished with you. To know that you have a hope that is greater than the hope that ordinary people have in this world. And I'm telling you, there are many people around us who don't have that hope right now. They don't have their names written. Whether we like it or not, they don't have their names written in the book of life. And it should be a thing that should make us restless as children of God. Many of us have preached in buses. Many of us have preached in schools. Many of us have preached in different places. But we have come to a point that we no longer share the word of God anymore. It does not really mean anything to us. Meanwhile, there are many people around us whose names have not been written in this book. I was reading about a church in the U.S. of recent. The people of the church are so empowered now that even those of their kids in high schools are discipling up to 100 people. Secondary school student ministering Christ to people. It's not likely that your children will be ministering Christ to people when you, the parent, don't minister Christ to somebody. Your children will do exactly what they see you do. I'm telling you. It's not likely. Except God supernaturally intervenes personally with them. There are people whose names have not been written at all. Let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. When you see these things, when you see the things that are written there, the Bible says such people don't have their names written in the book of life at all. You may know someone. Perhaps you may even be friends with them. Does it concern you? Do you feel at peace? Are you their true friends when you know that their names have not been written in the book of life? And if you practice such things, the Bible says your name is not there. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Remember that the book of Galatians was written to Christians. I keep telling people that we must remember that these books were written to churches, not to unbelievers. So when some people tell you once saved, forever saved, that once you have given your life to Christ, it doesn't matter how you live, I bring them to this book. I bring them to this place and I show them that it was meant for Christians. These are deceits of the end time. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Or now the doings, practices of the flesh are clear, that is obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency. Oh. This is a time of indecency. I don't know if you watched a program that I watched not long ago. These young people, after they have been fed, after they've been well looked after, they've eaten, there was nothing to worry about, they were drunk, they probably have done drugs. You know what they did? I mean, what they keep doing, not what they did, they are still doing it. I think it's in New South Wales. They choose a spot. You see, young people will gather themselves today there and do all sorts of things. They just, who dare me to do anything and I will do it. And there was this girl who was, I don't know if somebody dared her. You know what she did? She took off her clothes completely the way God created her. And they will go, they will be dancing around pole. And of course, the neighbors were tired. And the people there decided to mount camera and take photos of, or I mean, record them. And so they recorded this girl. And you know, she had the audacity to come on the television and say, look, yeah, I was just having my good time. And I don't know why somebody will broadcast it to the whole world. Because those people took those photos and posted it on the internet for everyone to see her nakedness. Indecency. The Bible said those who do such things, just go on, let's go on. It's the time of indecency. We are not to join them. We are to be different. Idolatry. People worship money. When you say, let's do the things of God, they say, why do you take it seriously? Is there money there? It means that if there's no money there, it's not as important as something that brings money. She wants some wolf in your name. It's idolatry. You are basically declaring that it's only when something, you are being paid for something, that you need to take it seriously. Sorcery. Enmity. Strife. Jealousy. Anger. That is ill temper. Selfishness. Divisions. That is dissensions. Party spirit, that is faction. You know, separating people, breaking up places, breaking up homes, breaking up churches. You know, pitching people against each other. You say, people who do such things. I don't know. When I read these things, I just take them very, very seriously. It's a faction, sex with peculiar opinions, heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing. You see, people who say, they say, don't, no, the Bible doesn't tell us to not to drink. Drunkenness, when you get drunk, you are characterized or lumped with these people, carousing and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He said, their names have not been written in the book of life. Those who do such things don't have their names there. They don't have the real joy. What they have is the temporary joy. People tell you there's no absolute truth. Truth is relative. And there's nothing wrong with people just having fun and be naked and walk on the street. You say they don't have their names written in the book of life. That's what the Bible says. I didn't write the Bible. It's what God says. And there are many of such people around us. What are we doing? Or if we are found with any of these things, what are we doing about our lives? It means your joy is not yet complete yourself. Let's look at Psalm 69, verse 26 to 28. Psalm 69, 26 to 28. He says, for they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. In other words, if you will understand this very well, you see, the first part of verse 26 is talking about Jesus. The second part is talking about the followers of Jesus. In other words, people who add burden to you as you want to serve God. People who make it difficult for you to serve God. Anyone who will make it difficult for people to serve God genuinely cannot have their names written there. But let me tell you, there is hope. I say there is hope. Because even in this world, as things are right now, there is hope. And Jesus is that hope. He has not given up on his people. If anyone would turn back to him, just like of the old times, Jesus is willing to forgive. He's willing to redeem. He wants to have our names written in the book of life. It's a very serious issue. We pay attention to the mundane things, and the real issue itself is forgotten. As somebody would say, let's not major in the minors and minor in the majors. Isaiah chapter 4 verse 3, he says, and it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. You know, the remnant, God did not just take his people into captivity. It was because of their situation. But those who stay behind and repent of their sins, God is saying they will have their names written among the living, because they will be holy people unto the Lord. As many as are left, the remnants, the few people who will serve God now. The Bible is saying you will have your name written in the book of life, and it should be a source of joy and a source of encouragement when you serve the Lord. Think of these things. In other words, it is possible for somebody to be so highly anointed, even like the disciples. The blind will see, the lame will walk, the dead will rise, the barren will bear. Jesus said, no, don't rejoice in all these things. Rejoice in this, that you have your name written in heaven. Do something about those who don't have their names. It's not about judging people. It's obvious. That's what the Bible says. There's a group of people, another group of people, who had their names written in the book of life. And then, their names were removed. You know, it's possible. I've shared with us before. It's possible to have one's name written in the book of life and then it will be removed. That will not be your story in Jesus' name. I want us to open to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I've shared this with us before. I'm going to read from Amplified Version. Acts 1. I'm going to read verse 17 and verse 20. People who have had their names written in the book of life and they were blotted out later. He says, for he was counted among us. Maybe I start from verse 16. He said, brethren, he said, it was necessary that the scripture be fulfilled which the Holy Spirit foretold by the lips of David about Judas, who acted as a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was counted among us and received by divine allotment his portion in this ministry. By what allotment? Divine allotment. God gave it to him. He had a portion in this ministry. That's what Peter was saying. Judas had a portion. So it was not a make-believe. Some people will go out and say, you see, Judas was the fall guy. He was proposed so that he will be the one. That's not what the Bible tells me. It's he who will let anyone who will make himself an instrument in the hand of the devil becomes an instrument. God has not proposed that anyone should go to hell. Anyone who hears the word of God and changes has that opportunity. The word you hear this afternoon will be life-changing for you in Jesus' name. He said, by divine allotment, Peter had a portion in the ministry. Judas had a portion in the ministry of Jesus. This gospel. Verse 20. But he said, for in the book of Psalms, it is written, let his place of residence become deserted and gloomy, and let there be no one to live in it. And again, let another take his position or overseership. Nobody will take your position in Jesus' name. It's a serious matter. The things we talk about, we think Christianity is a plaything. It's not a plaything. It's not about skillfulness. It's not about worldly wisdom. It's not about how much you know how to trickery or whatever. It's about you. It's about a personal relationship with God. So it's possible for someone to have their name written in the book of life and it becomes cancelled. Yours will not be cancelled in Jesus' name. Also, there are people who have had their names written in the book of life, cancelled, and then rewritten. Open to Exodus chapter 32, verse 32. When Moses went to get the tablets of the law for the children of God, before he came back, his elder brother was approached by the people.
The people. It's always the people. It's always the people. It's always the people. He was approached by the people. And they said, look, we don't even know when this Moses will come back. Make for us a God that we worship. And he obliged them. And you know what? You know what? God was really angry with these people. Aaron was one of those that God was going to, you know, was going to destroy and have his name blotted out in the book of life. But of course, Moses intervened and prayed. That was not the first time that Moses would intervene for his people. Now, the lesson I want us to draw from there is this, because you will notice that thereafter, God still used Aaron. God used Aaron. In fact, the rod of Aaron budded. The rod of Aaron did what? Budded. God distinguished him afterwards. Now, the lesson for us is this. Don't compare yourself with someone else. You may start something with someone else and they will go to their room to repent. And God will have mercy on them and they will make it. And the person with whom you think you are in the same team doing things together has gone to repent and you are still where you used to be. His name was blotted out and rewritten. God will rewrite your name in the book of life in Jesus' name. And of course, there's the fourth category of people who have always had their names written in the book consistently. Consistently. Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 5. Consistently. Your name will be there consistently in Jesus' name. Otherwise, why are we doing all this that we are doing? Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 to 24. He said, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. How many years did Enoch walk with God? How many years? No. 300 years, yes. From the time he begat Methuselah. 300 years, that is consistency. You'll be consistent with God in Jesus' name. The chances that many of us will live up to 300 years is very slim. It's very slim. For someone to have worked with God for 300 years, in other words, he never put a foot wrong. He allowed God to lead and he followed 300 years. And we can't even follow for 1 year. We are falling and rising every day. 300 years consistently, Enoch walked with who? With God. It doesn't take long before we are tired. You know, yesterday we were talking about at the workers' meeting. That's why we should be coming for this thing. We were talking about people who don't like the gathering of the children of God. You ask this one. You see that in town. Say, where do you fellowship now? Say, we do home church. This one, we do home church. That one, we do home church. The reason people do home church is because of pride. They don't want to submit. Unforgiveness.
because they don't want to forgive somebody in the church. So the best thing is to leave church and go home and do home church. It's home church, this home church, and it's, you know, and we are Christians. We can't even walk with God for 1 year and somebody walk with God 300 years. From today, you begin to walk with God in Jesus' name. You will walk with Him consistently. And that is the principle I keep trying to ensure in this place. And I tell people, I say, look, if you are going to work for God, if you don't work consistently, for example, if you minister in this church, if you don't come consistently for meetings and programs, you can't. It's not possible. You have to be dependable. God needs to be able to rely on you. Enoch walked consistently with God. That was why God looked at him and decided he was going to take him away without him tasting physical death. In other words, he defied the law of physical death. Your life can defy natural laws too when you walk with God. And when people are saying this is not possible for you, it will become possible. Because things become possible to those who walk with God. But he wants people who will consistently walk with him. People who are dependable. People he can rely on. Not people who worship him only when it is convenient. We are soldiers of the cross. I don't know if any one of us has ever read up on the kind of training that the special forces get. Has anyone ever read up about it? I've had discussion with people that made me to go and look it up. All these special forces, what they make those boys to do, the endurance, the strain that they make them do, it's not convenient. That is why, you see, when the Western world, when they are going to fight, you have, in the developing countries, say you have like 3,000 soldiers, and they will send 25 special force men there because they have been conditioned. Only those who have been conditioned by God will make it. You will make it in Jesus' name. How will you know if your name has been written in the book of life? In other words, are you sincerely born again? We know that without being born again, we cannot see God. John 3:3. But I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Let's look at something there. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Because there are some things that go together when we become children of the living God. There are things that automatically go together. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. You cannot say, I have my own mind, I do things my own way, and you say you are a child of God. It's not possible. He said, listen to this. Who were chosen and foreknown by God the Father, and consecrated, sanctified, made holy by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ. To be obedient to who? Jesus Christ. In other words, those who are obedient to the word of God, they are the people who are the born again people. If you are born again and you are not obedient to the word, then you are not born again yet. Please, I'm telling you the truth. If you are not born again to the point that you become obedient to the word of God, that the word of God becomes the final authority in your life. If you are doing something, you may be in the right as far as you are concerned, and they tell you that on the basis of the word of God, what you are doing is not right, stop it. You let your right go. Those who are obedient to the gospel, they are the born again people. By the Spirit to be obedient. The Spirit makes you obedient to Jesus Christ. That is to the word of God. Because Jesus is the word, the Messiah. And to be sprinkled with his blood.
May great spiritual blessings and peace be given to you in increasing abundance. That spiritual peace to be realized in and through Christ. Freedom from fears, agitating passions, and moral conflicts. When you are born again, you are no longer in moral conflicts anymore. You know where your destiny lies. You know where your treasure lies. You are no longer in moral conflicts. If you are still in moral conflicts, check your life. I'm not talking about people whose conscience has been seared, because there are some people whose conscience have been seared. You know, even when they are wrong, the Yoruba call it ogboju, they will still use ogboju for you. Even when they are wrong, they will continue to claim that they are right. They know. That is a conscience that is seared. But I'm talking about people who, you know, when you say you are born again, you come in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only come to the obedience of Jesus Christ, you are no longer in moral dilemma. You are so sure of where you are going. You are so sure of what you should do. Because the Bible is so clear about what your position should be. Everyone who is confused from this afternoon, you will no longer live a life of contradiction or confusion anymore in Jesus' name. And of course, if you are going to know, one of the ways you will know if your name is written there is that you are going to be fruit bearing. You are going to be fruit bearing. In Luke chapter 3, verse 8 to 11, John was telling the people, he said, now the axe is laid at the root of every tree that is not bearing fruit. You will be bearing fruit. By the grace of God, you will bear worthy fruit in Jesus' name. Because that is the essence of our call. That we are bearing fruit. That goodness is part of our nature. Love is part of our nature. The willingness to help is part of our nature. And the reason we are doing it is because of God. Not because of anything else. And of course, one of the things that will help you to know is this. Do you still fear God? If you can answer in the affirmative, that in you still fear God, and the way you fear Him is such that He makes you to, you know, He makes you to change your mind and do what is right, then your name will be there. You have to, as a child of God, once you still fear Him, you need to fear Him. If the things of God no longer matter to you, you need to check it. And it's the Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. It's not mouthing it. It's not just saying it. It's the Spirit of God bearing witness with you. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Matthew 3, 6 and 17. 16 and 17. The Spirit of God must be bearing, must be affirming. By reason of the way you live your life, the Spirit of God must be affirming that you are a child of God. It's not people affirming, it's the Spirit of God affirming. It's heaven proclaiming you. It's heaven recognizing you. It's heaven, you know, declaring that you are a child of God. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God is not likely to be saying, I'm well pleased in you, when we are not being obedient to the word of God. The reason God said, I'm well pleased in Him is this. One, of course, He's the Son of God. But not just the Son of God, He humbled Himself. Remember when He met John, John said, me baptize you? Me baptize you? He said, suffer it to be so. So that we'll fulfill all righteousness. Let it be like that. It doesn't matter who you think I am. I'm a man under authority.
I'm a man under heavenly authority. I need to be obedient to heavenly authority. That's what he told John. And John said, okay. Another person to show the humility of Jesus was Peter. When Jesus was about to go, he decided he was going to wash the feet of his disciples. And Peter said, Master, you wash my feet? Jesus said, I have to wash your feet. And he said, no, God forbid. You know this Peter, he's so zealous for Jesus to the point that sometimes he wants Jesus to miss his destiny. Eh? You know, there are some positive things that can help people to miss their destiny. You will not miss your destiny in Jesus' name. Positive things, good things. In it themselves, they are not bad, though. They really look good. There are things we desire to have. There are things we must have. There are things that are nice. There are additions. There are things we will call blessings. And they can actually make people derail. Jesus said to him, I have to wash your feet. When he insisted, Jesus said, look, if I don't wash your feet, you will not be part of this commission. He said, if that is the case, don't just wash my feet, wash my head and my whole body also. Praise the Lord. Praise God. The Spirit must be our witness. In other words, it must be our daily experiences that we are in line with the Word of God and with the mind of God. If you don't know the will of God, how can you do His will? The Word of God has to be your friend because it's a will, it's a testament. Is the last word that contains the mind of God. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to ask us how many of us have wills in this place. But if you have wills, if you have wills, I know that many of us from that part of the world, it's not very common for us to write wills. It's good to have will. I've written a will, by the way. So it's not a bad thing to have a will. Go and look at the transition between David and Solomon. Everything was he had his will. He told Solomon, he said, this man, because I promised him that I wasn't going to kill him, he would destroy the kingdom. When I'm gone, you know what to do with him. He gave clear instruction. He had a will. So you must have a will so that nobody will contest. It's important. Have a will. But how will you feel after you've written your will? Somebody comes and changes it. Will you be happy? Testament means will. That's the will of God for us. We say Old and New Testament is His will. So when we change it, do you think God is happy? The will I've written, if somebody chooses to change it, that person will not sleep. Oh, praise the Lord. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are who? They are the children of God. You are the children of God. And your name is in the book of life. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Of course, we don't have to go over why it's important that our names need to be there. We don't actually have an option. We don't have what? We don't have an option. Our brother who took testimony in the morning said, he said, marriages in this church will succeed. And we do what? We succeed because there's no option. Who do you want to be like? Like father, like son. So it should be. Who do you want to? How can your marriage not succeed? It has to succeed. The Bible says we bear and forbear one another in love. You have no option. You cannot. He said, he was talking to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 4. He said, Deuteronomy chapter 8. He said, and after you have eaten, and after you have built houses, you must not be like these people. You must not serve their God. You must not behave like them. When you come to that land, which I promise you, you cannot say you are here. And then you start to behave like people
who will not edify the name of God, who will not glorify God. You will succeed in Jesus' name. If there's something failing in your life, there's going to be a reverse of fortune from today. You begin to succeed in Jesus' name. So we have no option but to succeed, because the price of not succeeding is very, very serious. Look at Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 to 17. Revelation 6, 12 to 17. Revelation 6, 12 to 17. These are some of the things that we don't feel comfortable to talk about, but we have to talk about them. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Only those who have their names written in the book of life will stand that day. You will stand in Jesus' name. Again, go to Revelation chapter 19. There's no doubt that we don't have any option. We make it, and we make it. Revelation 19, 17 to 21. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Now listen to this. Some people will be eating the supper of the Lamb, eating with Jesus, and see another supper. So there are going to be two suppers in heaven. Not one. There are going to be two. Some people are eating with Jesus, marrying, praising God. There's going to be the second supper. Go look at the second supper. Birds are going to have supper. And he said, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings. The flesh of who? Kings. The people who have had their portion on earth. That's why we must not trust in riches, achievement, anything. That you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains. Industrial captains, owners of banks, wealthy people. The boss of heaven will come together to eat of their carcass. And the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnants were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. The great joy, the real joy, is that we have our name written in the book of life. Anything else does not matter. I'm telling you. You'll be
you'll be specially favored to live like Enoch. Praise the Lord. Do you even need it? By 300 years, if everything is falling apart, the short time we have to stay, let's walk with God. And He will guide us in Jesus' name. He will sustain you in Jesus' name. That's why no excuse will be able to stand in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Every barrier and every hindrance, every let and every obstruction that stand between you and God from this afternoon, they are destroyed in Jesus' name. You have that great joy, the real joy, to say, my name is written in the book of life, and it will never be deleted again in Jesus' name. Can we rise on our feet and just give glory to God? Just bless the name of the Lord. Say, Father, I bless you. Lord, I give you praise. Lord, I worship you. For you are God. There is none like you. I give you praise, O God. You are the mighty one. You are the great I am, O God. Thank you because my name is written in the book of life, never to be deleted, O God. Thank you, Jesus, for loving even me. If you are in the house this afternoon, if for whatever reason you know that you have not been living right, because it's possible to have one's name written there and then deleted, why don't you make up with God right now? Make it up with Him right now. Make it up with Him and say, Father, accept me once again. Please, all eyes closed, head bowed. All eyes closed and head bowed. You are in the house. You have never given your life to Christ, or you are falling away. Can you just lift up your hand to the Almighty God? It's not about man. It's between you and God. Lift up your hand to the Almighty God. I want you to pray the prayer of salvation, a prayer of rededication. You are in the house. It's nothing to be ashamed of, because on that day, the book will be opened. That book will be opened, the great book that contains the name of the elect. Would your name be there? It's so important that your name is there. It is not a make-believe. It's a personal relationship with God. You are in the house this afternoon. Can you just lift up your hand to the Almighty God? You know that the way you are living now, you cannot guarantee that your name is there. You have never had your name written there because you have never given your life to Christ. Raise up your hand also. Let's pray with you now. Let us pray with you, please. Let all eyes be closed and head bow down before God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless you. We give you praise. Thank you, God. Yes, thank you, sister. Thank you. Who else in the house? Don't let this time pass you by. Don't let this moment pass you by. It's very important. That's the real joy, that you have your name written in the book of life. That you have your name written in the book of life. Every other thing, every other achievement will count for nothing. Only one thing will be important that day, that your name is written in the book of life. Oh yes, there are just two hands up. More hands in the house right now. You have just 2 seconds to lift up your hand, because we want to pray with these people. Thank you, Jesus. All eyes closed. All eyes closed, head bow. And I want you to say after me, thank you, Lord Jesus, because you are God. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior, and I repent of my sins, and I want you to speak to God. Talk to God about your life right now. Every area that is not right, speak to God right now. It's between you and Him. Talk to God. Everyone in the church, now speak to God about your life, because it's important that your name is consistently there, that your name is consistently. Speak to God right now. Right now, speak to Him and say, Father, thank you for forgiving me. Tell Him where you have gone wrong. Tell Him and say, Father, from today, forgive me. Forgive me. I want my name written in the book of life. I want my name written in the book of life. I want to be counted among the number for you. Ah, Lord Jesus. I want my name written in the book of life. Never to be deleted again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And say after me, thank you, Father, for forgiving me. I know I have become your child. And from today, I declare you as my Lord and my Savior. Write my name in the book of life, never to be deleted, in Jesus' name. The rest of us, can we just pray to God and say, Father, Lord, Don't ever let my name be deleted for any reason, oh God. Anything that will cause you to delete my name, Father, remove me from them in Jesus' name. Separate me from anything that will cause my name to be deleted. Anything that will make my name to be deleted. Anything that will cause me to miss heaven, oh God. Separate me from it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Separate me, oh God. Separate me from such in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And Lord, we thank you for your word. It's been spoken as you have sent me. Lord, I pray it is life-changing for someone here this afternoon in Jesus' name. Everyone that has heard me, we don't have any excuse. My Lord and my God, we will not be people who give excuse in Jesus' name. We will stand on that day in the mighty name of Jesus. We will not be made meat for foxes, oh God. We will not be made meat for birds of the air in the mighty name of Jesus. Instead, we will reign with you. We will partake of that supper with the Lamb of God in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we share the grace in fellowship?